Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the very beginning of the scriptures in Genesis chapter, beginning at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to read here of God's creation to the fourth day, to the finish of the fourth day. In the beginning, God. Thank you, Jeff.
Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 19, and the first 4 days of the creation of the earth.
Okay, excuse me, just before you start, what Jeff will read here will bring out the fact that God, who exists eternally, formed the universe in time and space. He created. And this creation was without pre-existing material. It was by his word. Thank you, Jeff.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Amen.
And so we come to today, and in so many cases we ask, what's gone wrong in the world? Why have we got all this pain and suffering? Why has money become God? Why is this nation worshipping sport the way we do. And it seems like we're getting back on track with our sport. We're starting to win a few of the major games that have played. So where is man's heart today? Everything that God created to the fourth day was good, and I'm sure when we read through to the seventh day, it was good. God said, and God made. God effortlessly spoke light into existence to dispel the darkness. God was the provider of that light, and in heaven he will be the source of that light. God established the pattern of creation in all in 7 days. Night and day means that the earth was already rotating on its axis. In verses 11 and 12, the grass and the trees were formed, all according to their kind, the principle of reproduction that marks all of life. And in verses 18 and 19, God saw that it was good. This was the evening and the morning of the fourth day. We must come to the realization that only he who is perfect, only he who is perfect can save we who are flawed, who are broken before God. And here in these verses before us today, we have described before us our perfect high priest. These are the qualifications of our Saviour before us today. As we open our word to Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. We're going back over last week's words here, verses 24 to 28, the end of the chapter. But he, this is Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchanging priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. The Son who has been perfected forever. This is the Son of God who Jeff read about earlier, who created the heavens and the earth, the grasses of the field, the fruit of the trees, to be after their own kind. When Moses led the Israelites out of slavery and they crossed the Red Sea, he then went up onto Mount Sinai and received from God the Ten Commandments. And these commandments gave Moses and the Israelites a blueprint of what God requires of man, of what God requires of man. He received instruction for the role of the Levitical priesthood under Aaron, who was the first priest. And the priesthood under Aaron, their role was as to be as mediator between God and man, and to make an atonement for the sins of man, both for themselves and for the people. So making an atonement for their own sins shows you just where man stood before God. We are sinners, and there's no getting away from it. We can wash ourselves all day and all night. We can try our hardest to do wonderful charity work and work all day and all night for God. We can try to control our minds and our hearts. but we are weak in the flesh. And the atonement of the Old Testament law consisted of the shedding of the blood of an innocent animal. The blood of an innocent animal. And this animal was used as a substitute for the sinner. And the animal had to be an animal without blemish. It had to be perfect as it was looked upon by man. This Old Testament law itself was not perfect, but it did show the gravity of the sin of man before God. The gravity of the sin of man before God. And it would eventually point lost man to the Saviour and High Priest Jesus Christ. So we can see the whole build-up here through the Old Testament law and through the Israelite nation as God directed them, and they suffered suffering under God's judgment when they turned and walked away from God. We see of the attacks of the Midianites, the Philistines, the Babylonians, all came in, the Assyrians, and attacked them in times when they were weak before God. They turned away, they were worshipping other gods. And this was all leading up to and pointing us to the final scenario when Jesus Christ would give up his heavenly throne and come to this earth and be the sacrificial substitute for the sins of every man who walked on the face of this earth, who called on him. It would eventually point lost man to the Saviour and High Priest, Jesus Christ. So here we see in Jesus Christ the profile of our High Priest. We see what was needed by God in order for the sinful believer to be restored to his original status with his Creator God. We needed the perfect mediator between God and man. But the Old Testament system was flawed because of man. Man was chosen in Aaron, the first one, and then the succeeding priests after him. And Aaron himself was a sinner. And of course, no animal could bring about salvation of the sinner. Our salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, that we can be saved and made heavenly bound. So do we understand all of this? Do we understand what Jesus Christ means to us today as our great High Priest in heaven today? In order for Jesus to be our sacrifice, he first had to take on flesh. We see there in that reading this morning, in the Old Testament reading, God as Spirit, the eternal God, spoke and everything came into being. God is Spirit. Jesus was with God at creation. We read that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So in order for Jesus to become a sacrifice for the sins of man, he had to take on flesh. Hence, our Christmas celebrations today of the birth of Jesus Christ. He took on flesh so in order that he could die to atone for our sins. He, and only he, could be our substitute. Only he was sinless and without blemish. Jesus was the one who hung on the cross. He is the one that we had to have in order to be saved, and saved completely. Jesus is holy. Jesus is in harmony with God. Jesus is harmless and blameless, fully God and fully man when he walked upon this earth. Hence his suffering on our behalf. In the purity of his disposition, he was not like the Jewish priests. He himself was undefiled and without stain. This is our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He conquered every temptation from sin and the world, and he remained separate from sinners, although he mixed with sinners. He was a true man among men, always dealing with sin, but separate from it. Now we have a scenario today where most of the world leaders have flocked to Africa to pay tribute to one of the greatest men, they say, in the last century. And anybody that's delved into Nelson Mandela's life knows that he was a flawed man. He was no saint. He was a man. But Jesus was a true man, a man among men, always dealing with sin and yet separate from sin. He was sinless, and yet for our sake, for a love that we cannot comprehend, in that for our sake he became our sin. He became our sin. And as every believer in the coming days, in 10 days' time, celebrate his birth, yet, when we think about this, in only 33 years, he gave up his life for us. And most of us here today, or perhaps I should say some of us here today, would be twice that age. In the prime of life, he gave up his life that we would have eternal life. And after he gave up his life, and after he rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven, he became higher than the heavens. He became exalted in the glory of God because of his perfect sacrifice for the sins of man. And yet, from heaven, he communicates to us the life and the blessings of God through his Holy Spirit, also freely given. In Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, we read there in verses 28 and 29, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." This is the day when God's Spirit is being poured out on mankind for all who call on Jesus as their Saviour. In verse 27 of this morning's reading there, "Who does not need daily, as those high priests," speaking about the Old Testament high priest, "to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself." When he offered up himself. In contrast to the Old Testament priests who continually offered animal sacrifices, can we imagine how many animals were used in the sacrifices for the sins of man? I think it was something when Solomon dedicated the temple that he had built, to in which men would worship God, to dedicate that temple to God, they slaughtered 22,000 head of cattle, 120,000 sheep were sacrificed for the dedication of a place of worship. In contrast to the Old Testament priest who continually offered animal sacrifices because it was not perfect. But as we look back at all of this from today, we see it was a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice. We see it all played out today in the Scriptures. This is the beauty of the Scriptures as we look into the Old Testament and the Old Testament Levitical priesthood system that was set up. It was all pointing to Jesus Christ. And we look back from 2,000 years after Christ came and walked on this earth. But Jesus is alive today as our great high priest today. This is the beauty of it for us today, that we have our great high priest in heaven today, that we come before, our mediator between God and man, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who we can come to in prayer 24/7 and lay it all before him. He, by his own sacrifice, accomplished all. Once and for all, he did it himself. And now his divine priesthood is exercised in heaven and is from the application of the blood and the virtue of that sacrifice 2,000 years ago that he made upon the earth once and for all. Once and for all. And for all time. And in verse 28 of our reading this morning, verse 28, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Remember the oath, God said, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For the law was the preparation to awaken our need and our hope for that true and only supernatural heavenly communion with God. And this is in the power of the eternal life through his Son Jesus Christ. The Old Testament law was the preparation that was needed to awaken us here today of our need and the hope for that true and supernatural heavenly communion with God. Imagine spending eternity in the presence of God, who has the power to create a universe from nothing, to set the heavens in their place, the sun and the moon in their place, to set the earth on its axis and spin it, to cause all the grass of the field and the trees to grow according to its kind, and for mankind, the gem of its creation. What the law could not do, what the Old Testament law could not do, God has done. Where man failed, God has made it possible. He appointed as high priest his Son, perfected forevermore. And here is the teaching of this letter of the Hebrews, which is the blueprint of our salvation. And as if we were to go back and quickly work out what Hebrews is teaching us today. In chapter 1, we see the Son of God in his glory. He came from God, he is God, and he has the life of God in him. And he's able to bring sinful man, by his atonement, near and into true possession and enjoyment of the very life of God. The very life of God. There is no other way this could be brought about than by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and by him going back to heaven and being our great high priest and calling us to follow him. With Jesus, we read in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow me. He came from God. He has the life of God in him, and he's able to bring sinful man out of the darkness of sin and into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has atoned for our sins, that we may enter into a true and everlasting relationship with God the Creator. In chapters 2 to 5, we see his humanity, that he was made perfect through suffering, as we see culminating at Gethsemane. And we see his obedience to take the cup of suffering, to bear the cross of shame and to die. Giving us his spirit, he partook of flesh for us, so that we can partake of his spirit and live. And now here, as we conclude in chapter 7, we learn that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who was a picture of the endless life. That he is also able to save completely and perfectly all who come to him. But for our part, we need to fully see and know and trust to experience his saving power. And this is our faith in action, that we fully know and trust and experience his saving power. And this in no way is claiming to give us a lovely life, a life without pain and without suffering. That life is because we are covered in flesh. We will suffer pain and suffering. God wants to bring out in us the wonderful works of Jesus Christ, that we can bear up under pain and suffering, that we will show the love of Christ in our pain and suffering, because he has, when we go through the door at the end of this life, we go into eternal life in the very presence of God for all of eternity. This is what he has in store for us. And we might have to suffer all sorts of pain and suffering. We look at Jesus' life and his 33 years walking on this earth, the pain and the suffering that he suffered. Jesus, who leads us beyond the veil and into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, never to leave, but to experience the true life that we were created for, as was spoken of at the first 4 days of creation. If we were to read on, we come to the creation of man and woman. Jesus, who frees us from sin, frees us from darkness and the demands of the devil, and takes us into our new heaven. And while in this life, it may be beyond our capacity to fully understand just how great is the love of our God, his grace and his mercy towards each and every one of us, that he would draw us out, he would seek us out. He came to seek and to save them who are lost. This is the love of God. This is the Son of God, our great high priest today. But be sure, Jesus has our lot. Jesus has our lot prepared in heaven. Some of us may have gone out to the cemetery and selected our lot for the end of this life, our bodily resting place. Be sure, Jesus has our lot prepared in heaven. And I want to close with a reading from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. And from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things for the elders and chief priests. See, this is Jesus in the flesh. Jesus, fully God and fully man. He knew from the time that he was born that he had to go to Gethsemane, he had to go to that cross at Calvary. And here he is trying to get his followers to understand what all of this was about. To show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone of you guys here desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Each according to his works. And it's better that we settle our account with God while we have breath than to wait until afterwards. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen.